Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. And this is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. This summer, we are looking at different psalms from the book of Psalms, recognizing that there are many different kinds of psalms, and today we are looking at what is a Thanksgiving psalm. When is a good time for Thanksgiving? Now, October, you say, obviously. There's a public holiday in October dedicated to Thanksgiving. And families get together and they eat way too much turkey and pumpkin pie, and they say, Thanksgiving! Now, sometimes we preachers grump a bit as we have to prepare the annual Thanksgiving Day message. Because we say, you know, Thanksgiving isn't supposed to be one day a year. It's not just this one day in October that we say thank you for all the blessings we've received. Thanksgiving, we say, and you would agree, is to be a daily experience where we say again and again, thanks to God for all these things. But I had to wonder about our national call for Thanksgiving. For those of us who know the Lord and honor him, we direct our thanksgivings to God. We say, thank you, God, for food and for shelter and for family and for faith and all these things. And we have a litany of things we try to say to encompass all the things that we say to God, thank you for all these wonderful blessings. But people that don't share faith with us, who do not acknowledge the presence of a God who provides all these things, to whom do they offer thanks? I think that to be thankful, that you have to say that to somebody. It's not just an emotion of feeling content. Thank you is a statement that is offered, and it requires almost a response of you're welcome. If people don't know the Lord, who are they thinking is going to respond to their messages of thanks? So I think what it means that people that don't have a faith commitment don't really give thanks at all, because if there's no respondent, then it's not really Thanksgiving. It's a feeling of contentment. It's a feeling of being satisfied and maybe feeling lucky, but I don't think it can really be thanksgiving. Now, that's certainly not the case in Psalm 116, which we read, a beautiful, lyrical psalm of thanksgiving. Now, this psalm was written by a poet, a songwriter, who was in deep, deep trouble. It was a deadly, frightening, overwhelming kind of circumstance or reality where the writer says, "I am in big trouble." Now, what exactly the trouble was isn't defined. Maybe that's so the songwriter could say, "This song of mine can be applied by people in all kinds of difficulties, where they can share my experience and sing my song with me." Some people think that it was a sickness that the person had. And there are those of us here who know exactly what it is to be so sick, to have your life be so threatened that it seems to you, then you have experienced that the grave seemed to be looming in front of you, and you said, "I think that I am approaching the end." Maybe it was that heart attack that you suffered, or the diagnosis of cancer that the doctor gave to you with a grim face. Maybe it was the impact of trauma and injury. These things that grab you and hold you and throttle you, chill you to the marrow of your bones. Now, other people think that it was the threat of an enemy, that someone or some group that wants to see the end of you, that wants to ruin your life, to destroy your livelihood, to kick you out of your community, to make those that have some respect for you lose all that respect. Someone who has the power to do you and those that you love great and grievous harm. Someone that you can't escape. Someone that you cannot defeat. Someone who has no morals, no heart, no shame, and no mercy for you. Now, in this really super hard, unnerving, and that the Lord is the first resort, that He is God, that He is the Master, that He is the one who is there for us. And knowing this, the psalmist cries out to God, "Lord, save me from my enemy. Protect me from this great threat. Rescue me from my great fear. Comfort me." And then there's a response. That when we call to God, when we ask Him to come near to us because of our trouble, then He is there. Because He is God. He is the Eternal One who will outlast every threat against us. Who will not be outweighed. Haven't we tried that before with our enemies? Say, you know what? If we can just kind of lock it low and maybe this enemy will overlook us, maybe we'll slip by, but God is not going to be outweighed by anyone. It says that God is the great and powerful one. That there is no enemy that is stronger than our God. There is no sickness that you have that is greater than the salvific and even healing power of God. Not to say that God heals everyone the way that we want Him to heal them. But no one who calls on the name of the Lord is abandoned, because our God is strong and will be there. He's the loving one who cares for us and does not abandon us. Imagine being loved by the Creator of the universe. And it says He is good, that He is gracious, He is kind. He is our true protector. There are lots and lots of stories of God doing this. Many of us can tell those stories ourselves and share the experience of people close to us who have been protected by God, who have been rescued, who have been provided for, who can say, I experienced healing and I know that it was a gift of God to me. Sometimes in ways that only grace and miracle can explain. Every one of us who accepts the title Christian, who says, I am a person who knows that Jesus is Lord, I understand that He died on a cross and He rose from the grave, and that He is in heaven and He is interceding for me. He says my name in heaven and says, that one is mine. And all who accuse and all who would condemn have to hear Jesus Himself say, this person is not condemned. This person is not rejected. This person is mine. We are the people who have faith, and because of faith know that we've been taken from an empty way of life that leads nowhere, and put on a path that leads to life and glory and hope and joy and reconciliation with God. We can say together that the Lord has done this and it is marvelous in our eyes. So for every story, for every experience of God intervening in His own divine, gracious, loving way, we say thanks. And for thanksgiving to be real, for gratitude to the Lord to be shown to be genuine, it also requires a response from us. Our psalm for the day tells us what a fitting response to the grace and mercy of God is. First, it says, gratitude is to accept Him and His salvation. That requires an intellectual acceptance. Where you say, I want to know what the Lord has said so I can understand the salvation that He has given to me. We should be a community of learners, eager to understand the Word and what He has given to us. We shouldn't be intellectually lazy here in this community. We accept it in our minds. We accept it in the core of our beings. So is not just an intellectual, oh yeah, we know these things. We know what the confessions say. We know what the theology says. No, this is something that we say we incorporate this, that we accept it in our whole being. It's a total body experience being a follower of Christ. It's an emotional response where we say, because I know the Lord, because I know what He has done for me, because He has entered my life and rescued me from all this darkness and all these things that could bash away at me, I will respond. I'll have a feeling. And if we're saying, oh, being a Christian, blah, 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 it just seems so dull and so routine. If you think it's routine, if you think it's dull, then you don't get it yet. Because what could be better than saying, I have a personal connection with the Creator of the universe, and up in heaven where all the angels are focused on and all the saints who've gone before are focused on, that one who is focused upon is Himself focused on me. Because He loves me and He loves us. He loves this community. And if you know that's true, how can you think that it is dull? And if we act in ways and if we have led you to think that it's a bore, then I apologize. And I tell you all that we have to do better, because there is nothing as important and nothing as great as this. Which is why we want to respond also with worship. Why do we come together to sing these beautiful songs? And why do we come together to pray? Because it is part of our response in serving God. I will fulfill my vows, and I will serve you just as my mother did. We need to be a serving community, not out of custom or superstition, not because it's what everybody expects. We need to be a serving people, because that is a fitting response to what we have received from the Lord. We're called to be thankful. We're called to be blessed and to be blessings. May the Lord encourage us with His Spirit as we seek to be the kind of people that He calls us to be, indeed, that He has created us to be, indeed, what He has saved us to be, to the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for so many things. Everything we have is from You. All the good hopes that we have are ones You've implanted in our hearts. Now, Lord, let us respond to You. Let our thankful lives be exactly how You would want them to be, that we are accurately and joyfully showing our gratitude. You are good, and we love You. Amen.